Welcome to the Aeronauts Podcast, dear listeners, where we go nuts about aviation. The talk show that covers one topic in depth each episode. My name is Boss, and together with me, Aldrich and Vincent are going to discuss about the do's and don'ts from airport to airport. So then, good evening, guys. How are you?
Okay, so far I'm okay. I'm just happy that the inter-district borders are open, so that I can have the pleasure to go and play golf with my other friends. So that's the only thing I'm happy for now.
You mean other friends? You mean Vincent, right?
Yes, Vincent also.
So how many games this week? How many games this week?
Games? Maybe one game this week. Not sure.
Okay. So how are you, Vincent?
I'm good. Good. Very good. I just had my base check completed yesterday. And then, looking forward to playing golf with Aldrich this coming Friday. And that's about it.
Okay. Since you already brought up base check, probably we'll ask that what is base check later. Okay. So, myself, I'm also good. It's been a very slow week, actually. I didn't do anything. Basically, lazy man's job, okay? Okay, so now, today's topic we're going to do is the do's and don'ts from airport to airport, which is departure to arrival, your destination. So then, Vincent, what's your opinion, or what do you think we should be talking about?
Let me start off by from your house, leaving your house.
Okay.
I would say the important things, you must always check that your documents are valid, your pass, like for example passports, your visas are ready. Mm-hmm. And also if you can, please do check online what kind of dangerous items that you are not supposed to bring on board, and those items that you'll be able to bring on board.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of passport or documentation, I understand there is a limit for your passport before you can travel. So, a minimum of how many months before it expires, you can still use the passport to travel?
As far as I know, in Malaysia itself, 6 months, minimum 6 months before, sorry, the maximum is 6 months before your expiry date that you got to go and renew. It. Because the customs or the immigration will not be allowing you to actually depart for any flights.
Yeah.
Same goes for passengers and flight crews.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So then, Ulrich, what do you think about the do's and don'ts from departure to destination? Well, what is your view on that? Why do you think we have to do this?
For me, I guess because it's got to do with safety. Because you also need to know, like example, you need to know how much liquid or maximum liquid that you can bring on board. Like for example, you only can bring maximum 100 milliliters of liquid, not with you, but in your baggage. Because in that way, if you bring the liquid with you on board, the passengers might be able to make an explosive, for example. So that may jeopardize the safety of the flight.
Okay. So where do we attain such information, Aldrich?
Normally, we can get this information when you purchase our tickets online. They also have this information on their website, the ticketing purchasing website. So you will know all those information in their website. And also, when you go and collect your tickets at the ticketing counter, there's an information card or a sticker on their desk where you can...
Okay, so having said just now, you already mentioned things that we are not supposed to carry. Which one is the ones that we can check in, and which one we can carry on board? Any idea? Any one of y'all want to share? What could it be?
All I know, you couldn't bring any sharp objects on board. Example, terrorists may use to hijack the aircraft. So I believe sharp objects.
Okay, all right. How about you, Vincent?
I actually want to go back to what Aldrich said earlier, where he said that you cannot bring liquids that's more than 100 milliliters per container. Yeah. It's actually per container. So if you show up at the airport with larger quantities or larger amount of liquid, you actually have to either store them in the check-in luggage, or at the end of the day, you got to throw them away. So things like this is best to keep it in your check-in luggage instead of your hand-carried items. And also, if you're not very sure Because now, if I'm not mistaken, most airports, they actually require you to put all your mini containers of gels and liquids into a so-called clear transit bag. Yeah.
Okay.
So you actually have to remove them out from your hand carry luggage and put it on the X-ray machine for those security to check.
Oh, it has come that strict, is it?
Yeah. I've actually read this somewhere where it says, even if you're bringing medicine or milk for baby on board, mm-hmm. you actually have to separate it and actually declare it to security. So mm-hmm. if you are unsure of whatever liquid that you brought on, or you're unsure of what items you're supposed to declare or not declare to the security, you might as well just declare it to security for safety purposes.
So, like, normally we as humans, we tend to, like, take things for granted in a sense where perfume only what? It's only hairspray. It's only just Vitagen for that matter, or even Yakult. And then the customs, I wouldn't say customs, I would say the security officer will actually sort of like, you can't put this, you can't have this on carry-on. So what do you think, I mean, just as an opinion, or what do you think, I'm asking to both of y'all, like, what do you think that the things that we take things for granted that we put inside our carry-on bag when we are not supposed to carry them?
If I'm not wrong, most people actually have this so-called the Swiss knife, the small mini Swiss knife, where mm-hmm. you know everything is there. People can use scissors and knife and whatnot, mm-hmm. screwdrivers and whatnot. I think that most people actually thought they can bring it on board. Even nail clippers with that. Nail clippers with filers are actually not allowed on the hand carry bag.
Oh, okay. How about you, Ulrich? What do you think we take things for granted and we carry on board?
It's like Vincent has said, those small Swiss mm-hmm. Army knives and maybe some small mm-hmm. scissors, pins, small pins. And sometimes maybe people bring the name tag along to remove it or something.
Name tags are okay.
Are okay, if I'm not mistaken.
Pins.
Probably like the ones that I personally experienced was actually carrying perfume. I don't know. They actually caught me with perfume, maybe because my... Okay, not personally me, it was actually my mother, because she was carrying like a Victoria's Secret bottle, like the 90 ml or something like that. So then they were like, oh, why are you bringing this? Then I was like, okay, I somehow managed to got it checked in. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah, speaking of that 90 ml story, right?
Yeah.
When I was in UK, I actually bought perfume with me. So I actually mm-hmm. put it in my hand carry luggage. It was less than 100 milliliters.
Yeah.
The airport security actually wants you to, I don't know whether it's in a box or whether, you know, it's a bottle, to be in the clear zip bag.
Even if it comes in a sealed box, is it?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
That was in UK. I'm not sure about what other countries have their own do's and don'ts and whatnot. Mm. So yeah. In UK I experience it that way.
Okay, so let's talk about unattended bags. So why do you think we're not supposed to leave bags unattended?
For me, it's because mm-hmm. you might tend to lose them, and in that bag or luggage, you might have important documents, like for mm-hmm. example, your passport or your customs documents and visas. And also, if let's say other passengers ask you to help take care of the bags for a moment, where let's say they want to go to the toilet or something, do not attend to their bags.
Yeah, I mean, basically what Audrey has said, like, never ever leave your luggage unattended, because you never know, you may have kept certain important stuff in there and then people might steal it, because you never know. There are many thefts, even the airport itself. Don't be surprised. And if, like Audrey mentioned, if someone approaches you, ask them to help and watch over their luggage, just say no, because you never know what's the content of luggage. There could be drugs, could be explosive, could be anything illegal that could eventually lead you into trouble.
Are this one of the reasons why the customs or even the security actually, they will ask you, did you personally pack this bag? Did someone else aid on packing this bag or anything? Is it one of the reasons?
It could be, because there's a possibility of having illegal items in the bag itself. So it's always best to attend to your own baggage and pack your own stuff.
Okay. So probably there are more things to this that we take things for granted, but I think we'll just carry on for the next one. Maybe along the way, if we think about it, we'll just slot it in. Okay? So now at security checks, we have already completed our security. We are actually in the midst of completing our security check. So why do they ask us to remove our shoes and belts? I mean, I understand shoes. Maybe you can put things inside, but why belts?
Belts, you can use it as a weapon as well to whack. I mean, to how to say?
You're going to tell me that you're going to use the belt and hit me, then my pants will fall off and see my undergarment. How worse?
No. Not, that's not the thing. No, some people they can. It's not loose, man. I mean, some people they just put the belt there to use it as a weapon. You don't know what.
What do you think, Vincent, about this?
I would say it's actually more for the X-ray machine. If you're wearing belt and shoes, some shoes they actually have metal plates in them. Mm-hmm. So when you walk past the X-ray scanner, the machine will actually have, the metal detector will actually
trigger.
Correct. I mean, I know in India, you have to remove your shoes and belt. I mean, actually, most airports require you to remove shoes and belt, you know. So once you pass it through, okay, no, there's no sound, so you can actually pass through.
Mm-hmm. But to be honest, there was one particular incident that involved bringing weapons to belt and shoes. Were you all aware about it or not? Vincent mentioned earlier, in India, yeah, there was few passengers actually managed to smuggle in, I wouldn't say drugs. I would say they managed to smuggle in some knives and some slight explosives on board. So that is why they are very particular in checking your shoes. Belt, yes. There was also an incident where they managed to smuggle in. You know, there's a type of knife that is actually like coiled up, so they will use it as a belt. Yeah. So those are the things. That is one of the reasons that I could think of lah. Okay then. So having said that, we have already completed our security checks. Now, when we are waiting at our launch and then we are going to get on board, what do you think the cabin crews are doing when they are greeting you?
They are actually profiling you. I mean, whether you'll be a threat or not on board the flight.
So basically, they are actually psychologically noticing your behavior and all these things. Will you be problematic and everything? Am I correct?
No, they are actually checking you out whether you're handsome or not.
Oh, right. So yeah, they are actually noticing things like these. So, but mind you, they're not only profiling if you're going to be misbehaving on board. They're also profiling you for the sense where they're going to you're going to assist them in emergencies. Ulrich, what do you think the things that we are not supposed to say on board?
For what I know, you should have not say things like bomb, terrorist, and there's one more. I forgot.
Is it hijack?
Word. Yes, hijack. Yes, hijack. Yes, because if you say bomb, then the authorities might misunderstood that you are having a bomb with you, and then you might jeopardize safety of the flight. And also hijack, they might think that you're a terrorist.
How about you, Vincent?
To sum up what Audrey has said is actually don't ever make comments about carrying weapons or explosives in the vicinity of the airport or on board an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything that will actually make people feel unease.
Mm-hmm.
Where it may cause you, they may actually call the authorities on you.
True. Okay, having said that, things that we're not supposed to say, how about things that we're not supposed to do? I don't know whether you're familiar or not, like there are some places around the world where people actually throw coins into the engine, call them lucky coins. And there's also some parts in the world where they open the emergency escape hatch, and they also, some places, they actually open up the slide, and some of them, the latest one that I heard was, this passenger opened the 3A, if I'm not mistaken, opened the type 3A and opened out just to get some fresh air. So what is your opinion on this? Do you think that we can do this? Do you think we are not supposed to? What is it?
I mean, but of course, it's ridiculous to have you throw coins into the engine. It will actually cause the engine to malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are things that you should not be doing. But of course, some people, that's their beliefs. So what you can do is to educate them and tell them, okay, you know, you're not supposed to all do all this when you go near the near an airplane or go on board an airplane.
True. What about yourself, Ulrich?
Yeah, like Vincent said, for those who throw coins in the engine, it might cause damage to the engine when the aircraft is on the move because it might get ingested into the engine and damage it. So it might cause delays, major delays, and the passengers would not want that to happen to them. And then the only thing you can, like Vincent said, educate them. Educate them.
Thank you, then. Okay, so earlier Vincent mentioned that the cabin crew are actually profiling you. So what happens when they see you coming in drunk or incapacitated, in other words? What could be the consequences if they know that you're incapacitated when you're coming on?
They definitely will deny you to come on board. Yeah, that's it.
But passenger is always right, or in other words, a customer is always right. So if they come and argue on why are you denying me to board the flight, what could be the consequences that might happen if they came on board? Any examples?
There might be on board chaos. Example, they have maybe misunderstanding and fights with passengers, and it will jeopardize safety of flight. And maybe if it happens in the air, then the flight crew have to make a decision to divert and land because of this unexpected behavior.
Thanks. So any particular incidents that y'all have experienced on board?
No, but actually there's an incident, right, where I think Audrey would have known about it regarding
harassment.
Like he was masturbating on the aircraft or something.
Okay, yeah, that one was so un.
Yeah, that is stupid.
Another thing that I would think of is, imagine if you are experiencing an emergency and you're incapacitated, you have to get rid of everyone out of the aircraft in 90 seconds, and then you have that one person stuck there, and you know. I wouldn't say it's causing a hassle, but it's causing an unnecessary trouble on that. So this is just one of those things where one of the reasons why I believe that we do not carry incapacitated passengers. All right, now, so we're already on board, doors are closed. I've noticed some passengers actually put their kids on the floor in the aisles. On takeoff, I've noticed they will actually put their bags in the aisle. So, are we supposed to do that? Can we do that? Why not do that? What are your takes on this?
For me, you're not supposed to put any objects or your personal belongings on the aisle because event of an evacuation, if it really happens, and also movement of passengers, like moving out of their seats to the toilet or even if they want to do stretching, you know, on board. That's what I think of.
Okay, how about you, Vincent? Well, what's your take on that? Because there's this one incident where I still recall, it wasn't on my flight. The mother was holding the child. The child was crying profusely. And then she put him on the floor. The kid stopped. And then the crew came and told, you're not supposed to put your child on the floor. Yeah, but if I hold, he's crying. So what's your take on that? Are you supposed to, not necessarily a kid lah, anything for that matter? Can you put it there? Can you? Why not? We can put there, you know, all these things. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you have to keep clear of the aisle. There's a reason for it lah. So one of the reasons is that if in case of any emergency that you have to evacuate the aircraft, if you put a kid there or an item there, people might actually stumble on it. Or I mean, if it's a kid, then life may have been lost. Or if there's an item there, somebody might have just tripped on it, fall, and everyone else will actually fall. There's a reason for it. Basically, it's for when you have to evacuate the aircraft as fast as possible, and if the aircraft is on fire, then, you know, everybody will be panicking. They want to leave the aircraft, this and that. So, to keep clear of the aisle is a very important thing.
It's essential, right? So, then, okay. So there will be some incidents where passengers actually put their feet on top of following passengers' seat. What do you think? Part of do's and don'ts. What do you think?
I would say that is more like a moral issue instead of a do's and don'ts kind of issue, because I mean we can't be educating everybody to say, hey please, you know, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that, because then people might actually find fault in you when you do something else later on.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell them, but it would be best if you can actually advise the cabin crew, tell the person in charge that please, you know, ask the passenger remove his legs.
Because
if you were to confront that guy, eventually, you know, a brawl could have happened. You never know.
Yeah, true.
Unless if it's a pretty girl for all the different thing.
Well, I will reserve my comment on that. So thank you very much, Aldrich. How about you? What do you think that, you know, there are some I wouldn't say they are not unruly, but there are some passengers who have the habit of putting their feet on top of another seat in front. So what's your take on that?
For me, it's just an inhumane behavior, because it irritates, for me, it irritates me. Like example, if I'm like trying to watch a movie on a long flight or something, he tends to shake, put his leg on top of my chair and maybe move around so I can, it's very irritating. So in that case, like what Vincent said, I can get a cabin crew to advise him to, you know, remove his leg. If not, then the cabin crew has to do something about it.
Actually, speaking of this, it's actually somewhat similar to when we go to cinemas and watch movies. There are people who actually place their feet on
the
right.
Yes.
What can we do? The only thing is you can just tell them off, but if you tell them off, they, you know...
No, then they kick the seats.
They'll give you a hard time, basically.
I have experienced my fair share of seats being kicked. There was this one kid behind me. I mean, I know children are a handful, but if you're kicking if you're a child kicking the person in front of you and the parents are like giggling, oh my god, that's so cute. Honestly, it's not funny. I mean, you're supposed to at least put an effort to control your child, not encourage it to make it worse, right? I've personally experienced that for a 15-hour flight and it's not fun, trust me. So, yeah, I mean, misbehaving on board can result on the crew actually restraining you. I'm not talking about kids, but overall passengers. So what else do you think, gentlemen, the things that we are not supposed to do on board and the things that we're supposed to do on board?
Definitely no smoking on board.
So why is that? I mean, yeah, lately smoking causes cancer, yada, 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 but why not no smoking?
It decreases the oxygen level in the aircraft cabin. So, and then it affects the environment in the cabin. So I've, I heard an incident where the flight crew have to do an emergency descent. The oxygen level drop in the cabin. So it's a so-called procedure where they have to descend, do an emergency descent.
Any idea what airline was that? Or what incident is that?
Actually, you say no smoking in flight, but back in
1990s, all we still have smoking on board.
Yeah, smoking were allowed on board.
So I was on the ride and the, you know, non-smokers.
I'm actually a little curious about this, so I actually searched it online. So actually, 30 years ago, the rule, this no smoking rule was actually first enforced 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When it started by United States, United Airlines, basically, you know, where they ban the smoking. Basically, that flight, there's no smoking on the flight. Then later on, 10 years from there, most United Airlines prohibited smoking between United States and foreign destinations. So whichever foreign flights that they go to, there will never be a smoking on board kind of thing. And if I'm not mistaken, there was this incident where... this incident called Varig Flight 820. They made an emergency landing in France in 1973 as a result of smoke inside the cabin. They suspect that it was caused by a cigarette thrown into a trash bin filled with flammable tissues.
So was this the time where smoking was allowed or wasn't allowed?
Smoking was not allowed since 1980. If I'm not mistaken, this was in 1973. This incident actually resulted in 123 deaths and only 11 survived in that flight. which is caused by, you know, they suspect it was caused by cigarette.
So basically, the no smoking is a fire hazard on board. Am I correct?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Actually, the for the non-smoking part as well, I think there's you need to have a special, not special place, a specific place where you need to dispose of the cigarette butts.
You do know that if at all we catch anyone, any passenger on board who is smoking, or even crew for that matter, smoking, the airline can be fined and also the passenger can be arrested under disorderly conduct for smoking in non-smoking premises. Am I correct, guys?
Yep, all right.
Thank you for that. So, okay, now let's proceed, since just now I brought up the seatbelt. So why is it necessary for us to wear seatbelt even though the seatbelt sign is off?
It's mainly to do with safety of all passengers, because we never know if we hit clear air turbulence where the flight crew wouldn't know if there's any turbulence in the high altitudes region. So it's advisable for everyone to be seated, and if it happens there's a turbulence, then it will keep you safe from hitting your head on the roof and get injured.
Any particular incidents you'd like to share that about?
I mean, there are a lot of incidents like this, but example, I think in Thai Airways A380, where they flight from Bangkok to Hong Kong, if I'm not mistaken, they had hit a turbulence on approach or somewhere in distance to approach landing.
What happened to the passengers, or what happened in that particular flight?
Basically, the flight just hit severe turbulence, and then passengers who were not seated are caught off guard, where their heads hit the ceiling until the cabin, how to say, ceiling cracked and caused damage. So I don't wanna, how to say, imagine what incidents did the passengers encounter.
Yeah, that would have been a nasty one. Yeah. How about you, Vincent? Well, any incidents you'd like to share or any opinions about this?
I would say just fasten your seatbelts, even if you're not planning to go to the washroom or whatnot. I mean, if you're seated, just put your seatbelt on. I mean, turbulence is hard to predict, so it can happen at any time during the flight, be it taking off, be it cruising, or approaching, or for landing. So severe turbulence can actually result in, you know, passengers' injuries or maybe even death. So yeah, just strap your seatbelt.
Okay, as for my my experience, there was once this cabin crew was actually serving coffee, and then they, like what earlier mentioned by Ulrich, they encountered a clear air turbulence, and then the hot water actually hit his eye, and then he actually went one side blind, and there was this one incident that, if not mistaken, was Qantas from Singapore to, was it Perth or Adelaide, but it was heading towards Australia. Suddenly, the pitot tubes gave some wrong readings or something, and then the aircraft suddenly jolted up and passengers without their seatbelts started flying left and right. Some passengers were in the washroom when that happened. So it's sort of essential that such things, we are supposed to, you know, we're supposed to be keeping our seatbelts fastened in any conditions, regardless whether it is.
Yeah, I think that one is, yeah, it's, I think, an air data computer problem. I think they got wrong information or something. So aircraft dive down or something, that's why they experience negative G, so everybody flew off the seats and hit the head on the ceiling. So, that's what I remember. Like,
cabin crews and passengers, they, especially when they are not in their seats, this is what actually occurs. That is why I think most of our captains and our co-pilots will actually say, cabin crew, be seated, and then they'll turn on this the emergency. I mean, they will not turn on the emergency, they'll turn on the seatbelt sign and all these things, right? Since that is our do's and don'ts, what else do you we should not do when we are on board? We're not supposed to do on board.
I think you have to respect other passengers' space. Like, for example, you don't want to be wrestling armrest with the passengers, because the passenger sitting in the middle seat, the passenger will be fighting with the fighting for armrest. The armrest with the other two passengers sitting.
Oh, that reminds me of the times where I go to a theater, I'll be fighting with the next person next to me just to get an armrest.
And then it just gives space. Like, I mean, if you need to go to the toilet, you know, the other passenger next to you at least give you some space to, you know, get out of your seat and go to the toilet. Because I have had an experience where I need to go out, they just sleep and then don't care about you. So I just have to wake them up and disturb their sleep. So I cannot, I have to go.
Lucky didn't pee your pants.
I have to disrupt their sleep.
Yeah, I've.
Did you wet your pants?
Okay, so why is it essential, since we're going to land now, the seatbelt signs is on, why is it essential for us to wear a seatbelt again when we are landing? Just simple one, a simple one.
Because basically, upon landing, that's the most critical phase of flight. So, in case, if the pilots need to do a go around, they are ready, I mean, they are strapped in and safe in their seats.
What about if passengers say they want to go to the cockpit? Can we do that? Oh, I want to see the cockpit. I want to take pictures of the cockpit. Well, what's your take on that? Can we do that?
But it depends on the airlines, actually, or the captain in charge. But not during landing or in flight, maybe on the ground after landing or before takeoff. But usually after landing, because before takeoff, you got a lot of preparations that the flight crew need to do to prepare. So I think mostly if the captain is good, nice enough, you know, he would let them in after landing.
Well, what's your take on this, Vince?
Yeah, I mean, basically what Audrey said, most of the time, captains are nice enough to actually allow you to enter the cockpit, but provided the aircraft is stationary and on ground.
Similar, like my the company that I work with, as what you mentioned, stationary on ground, not in the air. But there will be, like, last time, I think small kids all were actually allowed to get into the cockpit. Right now, it's a no-go situation.
Yeah, I think So actually, I remembered a scenario before, an incident where the captain allowed his 9-year-old kid to into the cockpit to have a feel of the controls, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So in the end, I think the kid disconnected the autopilot, and then after a while, the captain didn't know what is going on, and the aircraft just went into a nosedive, and then everybody perished.
I remember that particular incident. It was quite a sad one. But by right, you're not even supposed to let someone else sit in your seat. So I would say it's negligence. But so anyways, once we have already touched down, aircraft is on the taxiway heading towards the bay. There will always be a group of passengers where habit. Okay, aircraft on ground, I'm opening my seatbelt. Why are we not supposed to?
Because the aircraft is still moving under its own power, so you never know, the aircraft might maneuver in such a way.
It's as what Audrey mentioned, but I mean, you can use car as an example. I mean, if you don't put your seatbelt on and suddenly you make an emergency brake, I mean, and then you actually fall forward or maybe even fly out of the car. Same as in the airplane, where suddenly you have to make an emergency stop, the captain steps on the brake. Without your seatbelt, you might actually be flung forward and you might get injured.
So basically what y'all are trying to say is the reason you are supposed to be wearing a seatbelt from takeoff to arrival because of Newton's laws. Okay then, so once you have already done and then already gone to customs and all these things, please also be well aware that when the countries that you're entering in will not accept certain goods, like the Americas, the Northern Americas, they do not accept fruits. Australia doesn't accept any sort of fruit. Even in Malaysia, if I'm not mistaken, you can't bring a lot of mangoes. So those are one of the reasons why you have to be careful on what you're actually bringing overseas. There are some countries that do not accept them, some countries do accept them, and some countries accept a certain amount of alcohol, some countries don't. Drugs is a no-go for almost every country I know, but yet there are some people who are actually doing it. Yeah, these are all the don'ts. The do's is follow the rules and you should be fine. Yeah.
There's one more do's that I wanted to add.
Yeah, what?
Always be early for your flight.
Oh, I could not stress that a lot. Oh my god. The amount of times where I had to wait for the passenger just to come aboard. I remember there was this one time the passenger, he knows he's late. He's taking his own sweet time walking to the aircraft. I came on board and it's like, you know what? So what if I'm late? I paid for the seat. Oh, it's so rude. If you're if you know your departure closing gate is at 11:30 in the evening, you should be at the airport at 10.
I would recommend to always arrive in the airport early, at least 3 to 5 hours before the flight. If you rush, it's also not a good thing. So if you go early, then just go there, relax, have a meal, read a book, listen.
Yeah, if you rush, I understand you'll forget your passport, you'll forget the tickets, you'll forget this, you'll forget that, you'll put things inside your carry-on bag when you're not supposed to. Yeah. I think I 4 to 5 hours sounds reasonable, I guess. And
that's what I would do.
All right, now, so I think that will be the conclusion for the do's and don'ts. So before we end this show, let's just ask your views on a simple conclusion on the do's and don'ts. What do you think what do you think about the topic we did today? Before we go to a brief conversation for the next topic.
Let me summarize for you. I mean, for Audrey, then Audrey, you can move on from there, okay? So what we actually had talked about is always check your documents before you leave the house. Mm-hmm. Don't forget your passport, visas, important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Two, always check the custom limits of the country you're traveling to. Even if you're allowed to bring certain items to the country, you may be required to declare them. Mm-hmm. So any items that you're unsure of, just best to declare them. Third, never ever be rude to customs or immigrations. If you have any doubts or worry about something, always ask them nicely. Don't be rude to them, especially when you're late and you're going to miss your flight, because mm-hmm. you definitely won't speed up the process just because you're late. If you're late, that's it, you're late.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, allow yourself plenty of time at the airport. My personal recommendation is to be 3 to 4 hours, basically 3 to 5 hours before the flight. Can be later, but not too late. All right, go early. If you're early, go there, relax, have a meal, read a book, listen to music.
Mm.
That's my recommendation. Never ever rush. Fifth, like we have mentioned, never ever leave your luggage unattended.
Uh-huh.
Someone approaches you, just say no. You know, it could lead you into trouble if you say yes. Possibly lead you into trouble if you say yes. Or even end up in jail. Six, as for in airplane, if you're flying, I mean, if you're cruising, always mind personal spaces. Like you guys have mentioned that you've encountered passengers who to fight the armrest or maybe even place their legs on seats. And so always be considerate of other travelers. I think we have never mentioned this, but don't have loud conversations. Be concentrated.
Concentration, yeah.
Point number seven is don't ever make comments about carrying weapons or explosives in the vicinity of an airport or on board an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, I think everyone has not been doing this. Sometimes I don't do that myself because, you know, maybe could be rushing or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Don't ever stand up before the seatbelt sign has been turned off.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of human thing, like it's sort of like a habitual thing. Like as soon as the door, aircraft is on the floor, we are out, kind of thing. So, yeah.
That's something you know, people should work on, basically. But it's a habit that's hard to change.
So, how about you, Ulrich? What's your take on this? Well, what's your nutshell ending for this particular topic before we proceed to the next?
So basically, you should have mm-hmm. you should I would say double check
mm-hmm.
your passport and documents, custom documents before you leave the house, just in case you know you find yourself without your passport and documents. You do not want that to happen to you in the airport. So yeah, also to check the dates and validity of the passport for certain countries. They have a validity mm-hmm. period where you can travel or deadline period where you can only mm-hmm. use. So better to check those as well. And second, always adhere and pay attention to the cabin crew's safety briefing in the front so that you'll know and prepare what to do during an evacuation.
So thank you very much, Ulrich and Vincent, for your conclusion from all of this. And okay, I understand next week we'll be doing a discussion about flight incidents. Probably you have heard of the latest news about the United Airlines 777, United Airlines 328. We will be covering that topic, not in depth, it's just an opinion of what we know, and let's see what happens from there. So, any other things that you'd like to share before we finish this episode, guys?
No, I mean, that's basically...
There's nothing much to add, just hoping that everybody stays safe, stay healthy.
Yes. So then, thank you very much for dear listeners. Looking forward to y'all liking us and all this. So please do not forget, we are on 3 social media platforms, which is Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at AER0 at UTS. I repeat, at AER0 at UTS. Looking forward to hear your feedbacks from the upcoming episodes. And also, stay healthy, stay safe. Thank you very much and have a good week ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we take off, I'd like to take you through a few simple procedures to ensure your safety. Please give your full attention because the procedures may be different from aircraft to aircraft. Let's get straight into it.